senators from turning away the sick. It also provided subsidies, but Republicans want to repeal it. According to the report from the Department of Health and Human Services, for a 27-year-old consumer in the prime age group sought by insurers, the average monthly premium for a benchmark plan would be $302 next year, which is up from $242 this year. The average increase of 25% in benchmark premiums on the federal exchange compares with increases of 2% in 2015 and 7% this year. Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton has said she supports the Affordable Care Act, but has denounced skyrocketing out-of-pocket costs, saying the federal government should have the power to block or modify unreasonable rate increases.
All right, welcome back to some people in some places, but health insurance premiums
are going up and it's generating unpleasant headlines for Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, affecting her polling numbers and bringing them back down into single digits. Some states, like Arizona, where premiums will go up 116%, Oklahoma 69%, Tennessee 63%, and Minnesota 59%. People there are crying foul and saying they would rather drop the plan and be fined by the IRS.
And she's the
unsubsidized
author
portion of the government-run health care insurance marketplace was what Bill Clinton notably called the craziest thing in the world earlier this month. Mrs. Clinton continues to be in the awkward position of defending Obamacare, pointing out that it has decreased the rate of U.S. health care spending growth and provided increased coverage for Americans. If she's elected, she may try her best to push through a legislative repair job, but Republicans in Congress may be happy to watch the program continue to struggle and perhaps take her down with it. Obamacare has already faced two major challenges in the U.S. Congressional Republicans have voted more than 50 times to undo the law. Unlike in many other U.S., countries, the U.S. does not have a single-payer health care system. Private companies, rather than the U.S. government, provide health insurance for its citizens. Following the enactment of the ACA in 2010, states were given the option of establishing their own health care exchanges, online marketplaces, or for citizens to buy health coverage. Now citizens in states that refuse to establish exchanges could shop for coverage on a federal exchange. However, most Americans receiving subsidies
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There's very little about this investigation that is consistent with protocol, quite frankly.
That's former U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez on Fox News, saying Attorney General Loretta Lynch is apparently very displeased with the FBI director's decision to reopen the case involving Hillary Clinton's emails.
What makes this unusual is the fact that we're just a week away from a presidential election.
Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid claims Comey broke the Hatch Act, which bars FBI officials from influencing elections. A political columnist for Hillary Clinton's hometown newspaper says the Democratic Party should tell Clinton to step down as nominee and let Tim Kaine lead the ticket. Donald Trump's deputy campaign chief David Bossie saying on Fox News that's a bold statement coming from the Chicago Tribune.
Those are not friends of Mr. Trump's either.
This is USA Radio News.
If you have ever had an email account, shopped online, or used a credit card to make purchases, you are in dire jeopardy of identity theft. You must protect yourself now. Call our partner, ID Lion, at 1-800-941-6844 and sign up now for free. That's right, free. USA Radio Networks and ID Lion want everyone to have identity theft coverage. If you sign up now, we will give you a $50 gift card. Identity theft destroys credit and causes horrible issues for those that are hacked. Don't be a victim. Take advantage of this incredible free offer and sign up now. Call 1-800-941-6844. One out of every four Americans are going to have their identity stolen. Don't let it be you. It'll ruin your good credit score. Get protected and get your free $50 gift card. Call right now, 1-800-941-6844.
A tense week-long manhunt ends in Oklahoma, an accused killer dead after a shootout with authorities there. Michael Vance killed overnight while law enforcement was investigating a possible sighting of him near the town of Hammond. A chase and a shootout took place as authorities were searching the area, and a Dewey County sheriff was shot in the arm but is expected to survive. Vance had faced numerous charges, including first-degree murder. He allegedly shot and wounded two cops last Sunday before shooting a woman during a carjacking and then killing his aunt and uncle.
I feel like we play our best with our backs up against the wall, so, you know, we went out there today, took care of business.
Chicago Cubs third baseman Chris Bryant, after his team beats Cleveland 3-2 in Game 5 of the World Series last night to stay alive.
You know, hopefully we can get out there and win Game 6 because, you know, you never know what can happen in a Game 7.
Cleveland still with a 3-2 lead in the best of 7, and Game 6 will be tomorrow night in Cleveland. This is USA Radio News.
It started at Bunco Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Americans are making and spending more as personal income and spending figures are just out from the Commerce Department. Personal income was up 0.3% in September. That is slightly less than what the experts had forecast. Personal spending, though, that was up a strong 0.5%, which is exactly what the experts had predicted. Well, it's that crazy holiday of Halloween, and experts say having a few pieces of candy on days like today certainly won't kill you. Here's more from correspondent Jason Campadonia.
Experts say overdosing on candy might not seem like a bad way to go, but it's almost impossible to pull off. Researchers at the American Chemical Society say in order to give yourself a 50-50 chance of consuming a lethal amount, you'd need to ingest 13.5 grams of sugar for each pound of your body weight. The average man weighs in at around 200 pounds, so he'd need to eat at least 155 fun-size Snicker bars or 102 fun-size packages of plain M&Ms in one sitting. Jason Campadonia, Los Angeles.
And Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson being sued and accused of copyright infringement over their hit song Uptown Funk. TMZ says an early 80s funk band called Collage claims Uptown Funk and their 1983 song Young Girls are almost indistinguishable. Collage also notes Ronson and Mars have previously confessed to being influenced by such bands. Remember, you can always find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com for the Flemington area. Tonight, mostly clear, lower in the 30s. Got back cool again after the warm spells. Tonight, partly cloudy, low in the 30s. Tuesday, partly sunny, high near 59. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, low around 46. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high again in the upper 60s. Back down in the 40s Wednesday night. High in the 60s Thursday, then possibly by Thursday and Friday, chance of showers. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome to the table. It's Chef Bill here. Chef Bill's Table at 100inchamberradio.com. Getting together on Mondays, running a couple of minutes behind today. Apologize for that. What's going on? Oh, the got to remind you about the Chamber's Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase. It'll be happening on Thursday, November 10th at the 100 Central Regional High School Fieldhouse from 2 to 7 p.m. The Restaurant Showcase will be from 5 to 7. A chance to network. Admission is free. Many local businesses there promoting their services. It's amazing how many services, besides restaurants, of course, that we have here in Hunterdon County. So we always like to try to buy locally. We depend on our locals for our business, so we practice what we preach. And you should, too. Again, check it out. You don't have to go to big cities to find good services and businesses in Hunterdon County. All right, now, let's see, on to what are the food holidays this week? Oh, you see it, I guess, I think other people have followed our lead here at the table. Started a few years ago with the eating the week or eating the month, kind of basing topics around food celebrations, food holidays, besides the obvious ones. So it's National Sandwich Day on the 3rd. So I guess eat sandwiches all week if you want. Sandwiches are always good. 2nd is Deviled Egg Day. Nachos on the 6th. November, many celebrations this month. Different foods are featured. Peppercorn came to mind. It's National Peppercorn Month. And we'll go in a little bit of detail about that in the show today. We're running a peppercorn steak medallions over at Jake's at the restaurant. Been pretty popular. Using a combination of peppercorns, the green and the black. So, but it's a good versatile sauce. And a good little seasoning. And so sandwiches, that's sandwiches. So a sandwich is what? Anything on bread is a pizza. An open-faced sandwich is a pot pie, an upside-down sandwich. Anyways, we like our pastry or our bread or corn, whatever, some kind of grain with our proteins. And having sandwiches at dinner, I know sandwiches are to-go food, they're casual, you can eat them on their own, you know, sitting outside, a picnic, very portable, good way to transport, and of course you can eat with your hands, you don't need the utensils and the plate, oftentimes, and our wraps considered a sandwich. But anyway, at dinner, maybe you want a sandwich for dinner, but you want to somehow at dinner time, the evening meal, we think, oh, well, we've got to have something that we use a knife and fork with, which is, you know, understandable. I mean, a sandwich, picking it up, eating it, it's, I think, eating something with knife and fork a little bit, I guess, more helpful with conversation. I don't say the word civilized or polite, but it just seems it's a little sandwiches again. We're casual, we're eating fast, and dinner time we slow it down. But there's some great open faced sandwiches, and you could actually take your favorite sandwich and make it open faced and serve it for dinner. The classic, of course, grilled cheese, which you see now is still a craze out there with the food trucks and the variations now, and they're stuffed with short ribs and all kinds of things. We have our one at the restaurant. We press it in a panini press, which is a nice appliance to have. You can simulate that with a heavy pan, griddle a sandwich, and you press another pan with probably a you know, heavy can of food in the pan to weigh it down. The press does it, helps the cheese melt a little better, kind of pushes everything together. Sometimes sandwiches are stacked so high that it's hard to eat them politely. I guess that's why we don't do them for dinner. But say a Reuben, that's normally the, you know, the shaved corned beef, and it's grilled on the outside just enough to melt the cheese. The corned beef does not have to be heated through, but for dinner, I mean, and again, at the restaurant, we've always served it this way, open-faced. Advantage to that, of course, cooks very quickly. You can bake them in the oven. You can broil them. Make them ahead, put them on a platter, and on a tray, rather, and put them in a 425-degree oven, 400 degrees right around there, and if you want to do a little top browning, you can. But even a grilled cheese, and I've done, of course, the classic croque madame. So the croque monsieur in French is the grilled ham and cheese. And what we like to do is, of course, use very good cheese and nice lean ham. But after the sandwich is done, to make it a croque madame, you have make a cheese sauce to go on top, and even a fried egg, sunny side up egg. I've done it without the cheese sauce, just a nice grilled ham and cheese with an egg or two on top, and it really becomes a nice meal. And again, nighttime sandwiches go well with soup or salad. And this croque madame with the fried egg would be very good with a nice little lightly dressed salad. We serve our version of I call it grown-up ham and cheese. It's smoked salmon. And we use a little Swiss. We use some Munster for the buttery flavor. We don't want too salty a cheese in that because the smoked salmon, fairly salty. We have a horseradish mustard, a little bit of marinated onion in there, and becomes a nice meal. Cut it into quarters. You can serve it even as a appetizer, a little snack. We use a nice, called a panini bread. Very coarse, firm textured bread. You don't want the whipped bread for this. You want to use good bread. Good coarse sourdough is good. Something, you call it artisan, I guess, nowadays, but some kind of good bakery bread, not a sandwich loaf. And we serve that with a little salad. We do our grilled ham and brie. We do that on a French roll, the fig jam and honey mustard. Nice lean ham, brie, and then we serve an arugula salad with that. So not all these sandwiches need to have chips or French fries. Rather serve salad, or in the wintertime, again, a nice soup is always good with a sandwich. The classic, of course, being the grilled cheese with the tomato soup. But we've done them with a little onion soup. Think of the French dip. You have the warm sliced beef. Again, a nice baguette. And you have a little cup of beef juice on the side, or even onion soup if you like. But roast beef or turkey, I mean, if you think of it, diners for years have served open-faced sandwiches, and really it's like having a dinner with the roast and the gravy, but over a slice of bread or toast. So grab your sandwiches for dinner, celebrate Sandwich Week, or have them, you know, breakfast and lunch. That's pretty much how we eat now, especially if we're busy. We've got a break for a couple of messages. I'm going to talk about peppercorn. Cassoulet came to mind this week because it's that time of year. We always like to make a cassoulet, which is a bean, braised beans with various meats and or poultry in it. So we'd like a couple of versions of that, but it actually got me thinking about duck. Duck, roast duck, or sautéed duck. So when we come back, we'll kind of go along that direction with our duck and peppercorns and maybe a nice winter dish. Chef Bill's Table.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, we're back at the table here. St. Bill's table. So peppercorns, briefly. We like to make, have you ever heard of steak au poivre? We've done tuna that way. Tuna's very good that way. Nice thick piece of tuna, and you like it rare or medium rare, and rub it with black peppercorns and sear it in the pan. And basically the peppercorn sauce becomes a some of the crushed peppercorns, black peppercorns, of course, the hard ones there. They become part of the sauce. We put a little shallots in the pan and some red wine. Let it reduce, and you could use stock if you like. A little bit of if you want to keep it more along the meat line, a little beef stock or broth, and we'll let that cook down. Make sure you get the lower sodium if you haven't made your own. And that should get down to what is it? It's fairly thick or reduced, and whisk in some whole unsalted butter. That becomes a nice, not sauce like you're pouring a lot of gravy over something, but a nice anointing of the product, as you will, if you will. And that works on tuna or steak, a quick sauce. If you've browned your proteins well in the pan, of course, even if you don't have stock. I've made pan sauce with just some wine and a little bit of water, and then you have that butter finish, and you're all set, especially if you've got a few little brown, the fond that's in the pan. Doesn't always have to be a workout to have the fresh stock on hand. So peppercorns, the green peppercorns, which are the undried pepper berries. The black pepper, of course, is dried and we grind it up for a spice. The green peppercorns, nice and zippy, they're usually packed in a brine, little cans. And, of course, they're softer. They can be crushed also. They could be blended with your sauce. I like to leave them whole, but they're not going to break your teeth like the crushed black pepper. If you leave the pieces too big, you might have a little bit too much crunch there. This green peppercorn sauce, very versatile. Done a version with, I did it with a cider sauce, and actually with a smoked pork or smoked chicken. And if you have, a veal demi, if you can find some, making some is kind of a workout. I just priced veal bones the other day, very expensive. But you could also use a little, what we call a jus lee. It's thickened with arrowroot, so you have your good stock or broth. And use arrowroot just like you would cornstarch. It finishes the sauce fairly clearly. It holds up a little bit better than cornstarch in a hot dish. It doesn't have that real shine to it. And it doesn't have the floury, starchy taste. When you're making sauce with a roux, you need to cook the roux for a while and simmer the sauce to get that floury taste out of it. The arrowroot's very nice for quick sauces. So what we do is with the smoked meats, we start with cider, a good regular apple cider, not apple juice, and we'll reduce that with a little bit of shallot. Minced shallot is always nice. It kind of melts in there. And when it gets down to, say, if you have a cup of cider, you might bring it down to about a quarter cup. And then you add your demi or your velouté or your julie and let that reduce a little bit. You have some diced or sliced apples in there. Also, you'd want to add some brandy or, better yet, some applejack or calvados. Put a little more apple flavor in there. So when the sauce gets a little bit thick, we add a little bit of, we can finish it with a little bit of cream. You don't have to. Sometimes with these sauces, maybe one or two tablespoons of cream just enriches it. It won't make it like a white sauce, but it just helps, the fat helps spread the flavor around. We do another one for beef with brandy and white wine and shallots. That reduction gets a little bit of the demi-glace. And we used some Dijon mustard, a dash of Worcestershire, and some heavy cream again. And that would be almost like a steak Diane sauce with the green peppercorns in there. Nice and spicy. We like to throw a lot of them in there. Some chefs like to puree some in there and then add some whole ones. Really gives a nice peppery sauce for you. And that's good with steak, and it's good with duck breast, which we'll leave. That's what kind of leads into things today, talking about duck breast especially. You can treat like red meat. It's safe to eat undercooked. Most people with duck breast would prefer it to be medium rare. Doesn't have to, rare is, doesn't have enough flavor developing in there. I like it, medium rare to medium. At least leave it pink. You don't have to cook duck breast all the way. In fact, it's better when you leave a little bit of juice in there. But this, the green peppercorn sauce would also do well with a seared duck breast that you would slice and serve just like steak. When we're doing a duck breast like that, and you can find them in the store already to go, they got the skin on, and two schools of thought on this. Some people, to keep the calories down a little bit, they would pull the skin off the duck breast and just sear it, and that's a good, quick way to do it, but we like to leave the skin on. What we do is take a tip of a knife and just score the skin in a crisscross pattern. You don't want to cut it all the way to into the meat there, but you want to kind of opens that skin up there, allows the fat to render, and of course allows the meat to cook. We like to start the duck breast really in a cool pan, just like when you're doing bacon. What you'll do is, if you start with a cool pan, just kind of rub the skin on there to lubricate it a little bit, and it'll start rendering the fat. You're going to crisp it at the end. What you want to do is get the rendering out of the way first. By rendering, it's going to kind of melt the fat off. The duck fat's very nice, too. If you have any left over, it makes very good fried potatoes. So never throw away duck fat. It's nice and clear. It's good. You can store it. Very, very nice for cooking. So what we'll do with the duck breasts is let them cook on the skin side for quite a while. You want to get that skin nice and crisp and render out the fat. You'll season, of course, with salt and pepper, and then flip the breast over, sear the other side to the temperature that you'd like. Rare, medium. Then we let the duck breast rest. Of course, this is good sliced and served as a main dish. It could be sliced and put over a nice salad. Nice peppery salad would be good. A nice arugula or even a frisée. The endive there, a nice bitter salad. But duck breast, you can serve it just like steak. But we like to slice it across the grain. Now, if you want to leave the skin on there, that's good. If the skin has gotten nice and crispy and you've gotten most of the fat out of there, it's a real treat. If you choose to take the skin off first, don't throw it away. What we do is we dice the skin up small and kind of do the same thing. We render it just like if you were cooking bacon to make bacon bits. And we call it in our kitchen a chicharrón. It's usually with pork, but with duck, it's excellent. And so if you're doing a duck breast, especially over salad, take the skin off, render out the diced skin so you have nice crispy pieces, drain them, save them for garnishing the salad, and then you've got your duck fat to use for searing your skinless duck breast, which is going to put some flavor back into those. So either way, duck served as a main course that way. Takes kind of a little bit quicker than doing the roast, which we'll discuss. But duck breasts, not inexpensive, by the way, but certainly still for a treat, or in lieu of red meat, beef, or lamb, makes a good substitute. It's poultry with real good flavor. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table, Chef Bill's table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
She's unqualified, unfit.
Donald Trump's campaign manager saying that the events of the past few days only prove what they've been saying about Hillary Clinton.
And I think electing her would be a very risky choice.
But Kellyanne Conway says the Republican nominee does not plan to make the renewed Hillary Clinton email probe the focus of his message in the final days before the election.
The undecided voters tend to be independents. Independents hate politics. They hate politicians. Washington, the two political parties.
And Conway saying it's independence that Trump has to appeal to in these final days. Meanwhile, at news, the FBI has a search warrant to go through emails connected to that probe. Former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says
the Clinton campaign is saying, well, you need to divulge more information about what this letter is all about. But of course, divulging more information may in fact compromise the investigation.
This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever noticed your hair breaking off in a shower? Or has your hair become flat and lifeless? Revive your hair with Cell Therapy by Ovation, a breakthrough treatment not found in any other hair care line. Cell Therapy's unique blend of nourishing proteins, amino acids, and key nutrients treat the scalp and cuticle, defending against breakage, for hair that is thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier. Hundreds of thousands of clients swear by Ovation Cell Therapy. In fact, over 94% of Ovation customers say they recommend Cell Therapy to their friends. And Ovation Cell Therapy is risk-free with their 365-day, 100% money-back guarantee. So stop the breakage, repair split ends, and add more bounce and shine into your poor lifeless hair with Ovation Cell Therapy. Just go online to ovationhair.com and new customers get a special introductory discount when you select USA News at checkout. Great hair is just one click away at ovationhair.com, and remember to select USA News.
We're back at the table here, Chef Bill's table. So now we're talking about duck. One of the nice dishes I like to use with duck is a cassoulet, which, again, in the fall, it's good hearty food. It's a little bit of a workout at home if you make it from start to finish in one sweep there. It's a great restaurant dish because we can have the various components cooking at the same time. One of the key things, I think, of course, is the confit duck leg that goes in there. Now, you can buy these already done. Otherwise, if you have your own duck legs, you need to cure them overnight with some salt and pepper, some bay leaf, quatre piece, which is nutmeg, pepper, clove, and cinnamon. A little mixture there that, not too much, just a little flavor like that. But salt it overnight, then cooked in fat, preferably duck fat, but if you don't have it, use a neutral oil, and of course the fat will render out and flavor the oil. Again, strain and save this oil for cooking something else because it will have great flavor. Originally a way to preserve goose or duck, the legs, you could probably even do chicken that way, although you don't get that much fat out of the chicken legs. But the meats would be cooked until very, very tender, 2 or 3 hours at a low 300 degrees or on the stovetop very, very slowly. And then left to cool in the fat. Of course, the fat would form a layer over the confit, and then it would keep it in the cold cellar, in the 50 degrees or whatever, between the salting and the long cooking, and then keeping the air off, that it would help preserve it. Of course, now we do it for flavor. When you have a cassoulet, of course, the base is beans. And the classic repertoire would say that should be about 70% of the volume of the dish should be beans. You can vary this, but beans, a nice base instead of rice or pasta or potatoes. Beans, of course, a good protein source. You still get some fiber, gluten-free, if that's what you're into, and many people are nowadays. So the cassoulet or a variation of it becomes a nice winter dish. Now, soaking the beans or not soaking them, I've done either way, and yet there's the quick soak where you boil them and then drain them after about an hour and then rinse them and start again. I guess I've found that some dried beans are actually fresher than others, and it sounds kind of weird to say that, but if beans have been dried for a year or so, they're going to be real dry. And I find sometimes when I'll buy a cannellini or something, a dried cannellini, they don't take that long to cook. Whereas sometimes you have beans and it seems like they will never, never be tender. You want the beans to be creamy but still be intact. So let's say you soak them overnight, a few hours overnight. When we boil the beans, I like to have an onion in there, or actually cut the onion in half across its equator after peeling, and stud it with a few cloves, just like you're putting them in your Easter ham. And the clove and the onion kind of perfume the beans. Also, if there's any salt pork going in there, I'll use bacon. Now, classically, there would not be any smoked meats in a cassoulet, but hey, we understand the basic dish, and we're going to put our own twist on it. So I will use a nice slab bacon, but if you have salt pork, that works also. So you cook your beans with those items in it, onion with the clove and the salt pork, and it flavors them. Now, in the meantime, we have other components for the dish. Now, at the restaurant, we use pork butt cubed up. A lot of recipes will call for pork and lamb cubes together, which would be good. So, you know, for about 10 portions, you have 2 pounds of dried beans, and I use the white beans, Great Northerns. Certainly, you could use dried lima beans if you want for a little different variation, or a New England. Well, you got to figure Boston baked beans, right? Kind of they have a version up there of cassoulet using the Navy, the pea beans, which are a little bit smaller. Also in a cassoulet, besides the pork and the pork lamb braise, We also put in a sausage. I like a garlic sausage, which the easiest one probably to get if you can't find a good French sausage. The sausage-on is a kielbasa. And again, it's in light smoke, but it's cured. It's got more good pork flavor. And of course, at the end, we do the duck leg confit. Or if you wanted to do roasted duck legs, it's fine. The confit is great because it's got that, it's tender, it's got that, all the spices from the confit. And of course, braising in the fat. And that's something we add at the end. So you have your beans cooking. In another pot, we start our stew. Again, traditionally, the cassoulet, and again, it's another one of those dishes that's the container, the cassoulet is the earthenware container that it would be cooked in, and then the dish gets its name from the container, just like paella. You know, that's the name of the pan, but it's also the name of the dish. So we have our beans cooking, then I'll do the braise with the pork and mirepoix, some onion, carrot and celery, a little bit of garlic, thyme and parsley, a little bay leaf. We braise that and add a little white wine, you don't have to, and some diced fresh tomatoes. If you don't have the fresh ones, of course, some diced canned tomatoes. Not too much. You don't want it to be really a tomato-y sauce. It's just part of your, kind of enriches the stock. So with the pork or the pork and the lamb, a little bit of brown stock or broth, and you're going to braise this meat until it's tender. Now you have the stew done, you have your beans. I slice the kielbasa. The kielbasa, I actually peel it first. I take the casing off. You don't. It's nice too. You don't have to, but I like to do that. And then cut that into slices. So I'll combine all these. I got the beans, I've got the stew, I've got the garlic sausage, and then the duck confit. Of course, you have to pull the meat off the bones and slice it and blend that in there. And now this mixture I will bake back in the oven with the breadcrumb on it. I do buttered. I use panko, or a good, if you wanted to use a good homemade breadcrumb. But I toss it with a little bit of butter. You spread that on the top, and it forms kind of a crust as it's baking. And actually, if you have a little of that duck fat or anything left, of course, drizzle some of that on the top also. And when the crust is brown, everything's bubbling, then it's ready. So you can kind of stage this. You could have your beans cooked, you could have your stew made, and then combine and have a nice meal ready in, you know, an hour and change baking time, probably from start to finish. So that's the way we do it in the restaurant. Instead of starting making a 3 or 4 hour project of it, it can be done in stages and then combined. Now the New England version, of course, they would, you know, the New England baked beans, right, with a little bit of sugar or molasses, and you can still make these. A little dry mustard, maybe a dash of rum, use molasses, but you don't want them overly sweet. And this, again, you're going to cook your beans. Traditional baked beans, of course, they'd be boiled for about an hour and then put in the pot with the liquid and baked for probably 8 or 10 hours. Originally done, I think the Puritans, they didn't work on a Sunday or do anything or even cook, so, or light a fire, so the bean pot would stay in the embers, that slow heat overnight, and then you'd had something for the main meal the next day. So with this, so you have your beans that are a little bit, you know, a little bit of that molasses in there, and you're still your onion with your clove. The linguiça sausage would go in there. The Portuguese, kind of like a chorizo, good spicy sausage. I would still put in a little bit of the either pork belly or fat back, salt pork. The belly is nice, especially nowadays. You get a nice lean pork belly. The meat's good. It doesn't have to be cured or smoked. Just use it to flavor the stew. Now, in this version, we would use duck breast instead of the duck leg. And the duck breast would be seared and sliced and served after the whole stew is made. So you've got your baked beans with the sausage and the pork, and you will actually could use boneless, skinless duck breasts and saute them with some salt and pepper and a little bit of fresh sage. And the sage would also be a garnish for this. So you have your beans that have a little bit of sweetness to them, your little spicy sausage, and then seared duck breast. You can sear them medium rare and kind of fan them out over the baked beans to serve. Or if you want to serve the beans and a little bit of sausage and some sliced duck to each person, you've got it. So that's a real neat version of baked beans. But stemming from the cassoulet, that was the roots. And again, using duck, which is kind of nice in the fall, right? A little richer poultry, a little heavier flavor than having chicken breast all the time. It's a nice treat. We've got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll explore some other things to do with duck that might take, I guess no matter work, no matter what, it's going to be a little bit of work, but certainly the reward is worth the effort when it comes to duck. Chef Bill's Table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Back of the table here at Chef Bill's Table. So duck, a lot of work, right? And most people say, oh, there's so much fat, it's greasy, it's this, it's that, and maybe you've had roast duck in restaurants, and you know, it's all right, it's, you know, not my favorite, right? Usually it comes with a sweet sauce on it, which really is a kind of a interpretation of the classic Bigarra, the orange sauce with the bitter oranges, and it's not this goopy, thickened orange juice with marmalade or whatever. I mean, let's face it, duck does take to fruit nicely because of the rich nature of the meat, fatty, if you want to call it rich, I call it rich. A little citrus or a little acid helps cut that fat, balances it out. The sugar, you don't want it to be like a dessert sauce. Classic Bigarra would be making a caramel first, which is just sugar and water, and that gets deglazed with some citrus. If you're using orange, that's fine, a little orange juice, and then some stock. So you've got your caramel is your sugar, but then you've got acid from the orange juice and then stock, and make your sauce with that rather than have it just thickened orange juice just kind of dumped on top there. Another one, of course, like with anything, if you have time to make stock, it's really worth it. Duck stock, you know, a little bit different, a little richer than chicken stock. If you're roasting duck whole, of course, the only thing left for stock is going to be your gizzard, your neck. You don't use the liver. I always save that liver, and if you're making a stuffing, it's good chopped up in that, but I like it just sautéed and put on a little piece of toast. That's the chef's snack while we're cooking, right? But duck liver, or save until you have enough, and then you can make a little pasta sauce or make a pate. So for a quick duck stock, so, let's say you have some chicken broth and you've got your roast duck and you want some kind of flavored stock to use for your sauce, I would clip the wings, because the wings, by the time they're roasted, are not going to have anything left on them, at least the first two joints of the wing. And you have your neck, your gizzard. What you do is brown these up a little bit in the pan. You want that caramelized flavor, and you want the color. And then you add that to your favorite chicken stock. If you're using a canned broth, I would actually brown a couple of vegetables also. I'd take a little diced onion and carrot and let those caramelize also. If you think of a product like Maggi or Kitchen Bouquet, that's really all it is vegetable caramel. So when you're making sauces like that, and again, you want color, you want richness, a little bit of browning in the beginning, that few minutes you take to do that really shows in the end result. So you have these duck parts and simmer it with your chicken broth, and you'll kind of draw the essence out of those pieces to flavor your chicken broth and turn it into kind of a duck essence, if you will. Now, roasting duck, usually you got to figure 5-pound duck, 325. I like to roast them a little slowly, 2 to 2.5 hours. And if the skin's not quite crispy, you can always turn the oven up at the end and crisp it. What we used to do in restaurants is actually roast the duck slowly, let them come to room temperature. We would then take the half duck off the rib cage. So you had your boneless breast, and then, of course, your leg. We would take the thigh joint out, the thigh bone out, rather. Leave the drumstick, leave the wing, and we would then could fold this in half. We would crisp the skin up in the pan as we were heating it up for service. So, you know, and that's in a restaurant, of course. It's very easy to get that crispy skin. And also, when we were butchering, taking the ducks apart after being cooked, we would check under the skin and make sure all that fat was rendered out. If it wasn't, you can kind of scrape it out. So we had that nice, thin, crispy skin. Advantage to doing that ahead, of course, is with those cooked bones, we were able to make duck stock, and we would reduce that to make what we call a demi-glace, just like your veal demi-glace. You can make it out of duck or chicken. We would reduce that down till it was very thick, naturally thickened, and then just a little bit of currant jelly would go in there. Not too much, just the currants, a little tart. Finish with maybe that tablespoon or so of cream and a pat of whole butter. And that would be our black currant demi for serving with duck. Now, there's figs. You could do orange sauce. You could do green peppercorn sauce. Once you have your duck cooked and you have some stock, it's just really what you're garnishing that sauce with. So roasting them, as I say, 325, 2 to 2.5 hours. The other way that's pretty foolproof is to steam the duck first. Steam it. So you have some water boiling, a rack in it so the duck's not in the water. Nice thing about steaming it, too, is you've got some nice start for a broth, for a sauce. Steam it for an hour, and then to crisp it, you'll just roast it for about 20 minutes at 425. And this you could use if you're doing more of an Asian style. Say you have a honey soy glaze on it or something like that. Gives you a nice crispy skin. The meat is cooked all the way. It's nice and tender. Steaming it first, then roasting it is one easy way to do it, maybe a little bit less messy. If you're roasting it traditionally, I mean, they always say, you know, take a fork and prick the skin. You want that fat to come out. And you want the duck in a rack. You don't want it sitting in its own fat to roast. You want it up out of the fat. If you have to, during cooking, you'll drain some of the fat off. And again, save it because it's very good for cooking other things. Now, another way to tackle the duck, I guess the long cooking time, would be what I call divide and conquer. And oftentimes we'll see it done two ways. Or if I guess the old thing is, you know, duck, it's too much for two people, but it's not enough for four people. You always end up, I guess, getting two ducks, right? Good thing with duck meat, you can always, it's always good. It's good, as they say, on salad. You can make soup, sauce, anything. But if we take duck just the way we look at chicken, and again, the advantage of this is you can make your stock, is you just butcher. You take off the legs and leave the legs with the bone in. And with a sharp knife, you take the breast right off the rib cage. And you can leave the wing tip on, the one wing joint on if you like. But basically, you've got a boneless breast, and then you've got your bone and legs. If you choose not to leave the wing on, it's fine. Just brown that and put it in your stock. So now you've got your bones, your gizzard for your stock, wing tips, plus your backbone. You make a real nice broth out of that. So then what we do is we braise the legs. So they're browned in a pan, and then whatever liquid you're putting with it or wine, slow cook the legs so they're well done. You want them to be nice and tender. And then take the breast and sear that medium rare and serve it. So we've done that before. We have the two methods of cooking in one dish. Advantage to that is, of course, you can braise the legs off ahead or confit the legs, whatever you're doing. Those can be done ahead. They're almost better. Braise the head and sitting in sauce. And then when you're ready to serve, you would sear the breast and be able to slice it. And this way, even, you know, you can get maybe extra servings out of it. You've got two duck leg thighs. You could probably, somebody wants, you know, two drumsticks. Do other people want thighs? You could probably serve three people out of the duck. Because then you're slicing the breast. It's not so cooked. It's lost, you know, it maintains its volume. So by cooking it medium rare, you really get a little bit more yield out of it. So something to think about. Divide and conquer. Duck two ways. Remember, with duck, you can use everything. If you're not using the skin, save it for those little cracklings, like crispy things that you could use like bacon bits. Duck's good on a salad, sautéed or pan roasted. Probably the neatest dish, if you really want to tackle something, is a galantine, but that's a whole other deal where you actually need two ducks. You have to bone one duck from the backbone and leave the skin in one piece, and then the other duck you just use the meat. You make a ground forcing with some pork and pork fat and some of the duck and save some strips. You're making kind of like a, I don't want to say meatloaf, but basically a force meat. You're making a pate and stuffed inside the boned out duck. 2-day process. You have to marinate the meat and all that. If you ever want to really tackle something. It's a great showpiece. Once it's done, of course, nice, served as a first course or, you know, heck, put it on a sandwich, right? The banh mi, the Vietnamese one, right? That French influence, that's a sandwich. Always supposed to have some pate on it anyway, so. At any rate, enjoy some duck. Enjoy peppercorns. Have some good sandwiches, open-faced. Make sandwich at dinner. Good hearty sandwich, always good. And I guess we'll sign off. We'll